Folks, you can support the hardest working sports talk show in South Florida through Cash App or Venmo. Just search Cash Big O Show. Support us through Cash App or Venmo. Cash Big O Show. We thank you for your incredible support. Alrighty, yes sir, good morning, welcome aboard to a Thursday edition of the show. As we get ready for a little Dolphins football this weekend, we got a little Inter Miami soccer on Friday, a baseball team called the Marlins I think is playing, all kinds of good stuff. So we got a lot of things going on the program. Always appreciate all of you chiming in. Added a new feature to the show also today. We got a text line now. We're going to add a text line to all of this to give you guys an opportunity, because sometimes people are a little uncomfortable on YouTube and sometimes they just want to get their opinion and don't want to have the other people jamming on their opinion or whatever and those kind of things. So we now have a text line. You'll see it under right there. It is scrolling. Catch it right there. You got the email, of course. You got the text. There you go right there, baby. So text at 855-912-1056. For those of you on the podcast, 855-912-1056. If you want to send me a text any time of the day or night, we will have it always available to all of you, because we have people listening to the show at all times of the day and night. Morning and afternoon drives seem to be really like the peak times throughout the week. That's when it's like morning drive, there's a monster spike. Afternoon drive, there's an enormous spike. And our afternoon drives go all the way up until like 8 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night is when it starts to slow down a little bit because of the West Coast, actually. So it's interesting. So a lot of the people that are out there, and they may not be listening to the show live, another way that they can contact us is by the text line now. So obviously you have the YouTube page, which we've got all of our listeners that are on there right now on the YouTube page. Always appreciate all of you out there as always. And I see Steve Chapman claimed his King of the Hill prize at 7:29 a.m. being number one on the chat board. And of course on the text line now, 855-912-1056. It's easy because I can remember, you know, at least I some of these numbers, it's not too difficult, right? 912-1056, it's kind of easy. So 855-912-1056, that way you guys can reach out to us anytime you want. Appreciate it as always. And, of course, Twitter, Big O Show, and Yahoo email, BigORadioShow@yahoo.com. Appreciate those of you that reach out there as always. And Carrillo says, Big O, love the lack of respect being shown to our Finns. Let us be the AFC sleeper cell. Hit them. Yeah, it's going to happen, man. That's all. That's fine. It's all good, man. It's fun to be underestimated. And I think a lot of us locally see what's – not locally, I mean everywhere. If you follow the Dolphins, wherever you're at, in Singapore and – you know, you're in Indonesia, it doesn't matter. If you watch it every day, you know what I'm talking about. If you watch the team, if you follow, you read the coverage, all that kind of stuff, you follow our show, I think you get a realistic view of where your team is at. So it doesn't matter if you're, you know, with my guy JG up in Malaysia, or if you're up in Canada, wherever you're at, in Mexico, in the Bahamas, in the beautiful Bahamas, and we've got listeners all over the place. You know the Dolphins are up and coming, and it's just, that's fine. Let them live on history, and they will pay the price, ladies and gentlemen. They will pay the price, which is a beautiful thing. Let's see. We got a loaded show for you today. Lisa Johnson's going to join us at the bottom of the hour from Our Turf Football. She covers the Dolphins on a daily basis. She does an excellent job, as always. She knows her team really well. Love talking football with Lisa. So we'll have some fun with her at 10:30. 12:15, it is our adreamlending.com Miami Dolphins weekly report with Joe Shad. So Joe will join us from camp at 12:15. We'll get the latest on what's going on at Dolphins camp. 12:40, Michelle Kaufman's going to stop by. We'll talk a little Inter-Miami football with Michelle Kaufman as the soccer team is red hot, dude, right now. They are fighting for a playoff spot. They are in the playoff mix, which is a beautiful thing. So I love that. And they ended up getting a title sponsor for their jerseys. XBTO, a crypto finance company. It's funny. It's great because, like, how they underestimate the Dolphins, so many people in this world are underestimating crypto, right? It's the same thing. Oh, with the internet, it'll never make it. Oh, come on, a plane flying, the Wright brothers are crazy, yada, 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 right? It'll never catch on. The cell phone, oh, come on, that's a fad. That won't have beepers, come on, that's no, you know, and this is the way it is, right? All these new inventions, email, people were afraid. They didn't even come close to a computer. You had people that thought the computer was a disease. What do you mean, email? And now you can't live without email, right? I mean, you got to get email for something. You're paying bills on the internet now, right? So I love how people have also underestimated crypto, which is great because those of us that got in a little earlier, we're going to benefit from it in the end. You know what I mean? But it's just like you see it all over the place, arenas, on the umps. You know, you see on the front of these jerseys. It's funny to me how, you know, when I catch the ignorance, because really that's what it is. It's fear and ignorance. Because as human beings, sometimes a lot of us have problems with change. And listen, I've noticed it in my business. In my business, we went from taking your faxes. I know I'm old. But when we started doing radio at the barn at QAM in the early 90s, there was a fax. That's what you did from the early 90s to the almost late 90s. Yeah, almost pretty much that entire decade, because even though computers started becoming more prominent in the mid 90s, email wasn't there yet. We had to get to the 2000s to get to the email. And then that scared the shit out of people. And then we had social media, right? Oh, social media, that's a fad. That won't last. And where's social media now? You know what I mean? Businesses depend on social media. So you know what I mean? So it's funny how, and if you don't change with the times in our business, if you didn't learn email, if you didn't learn how to communicate on social media and connect with your audience, you were going to die by the wayside. If you didn't learn how to use a damn computer, you're going to die by the wayside in our business. That's just kind of the way it is. And I've seen hosts who did not adjust and they got old. You know what I mean? And you've got to change with the times. And this old fart changes with all the times. And look where we're at now. It's everything's changed, man. Everything's different. But you've got to be able to. It doesn't mean that you can't reach people, but it's a different way of reaching people because people are communicating in different ways. And so I laugh because I keep seeing crypto become a bigger part of society. And those people that are still walking around going, that's fake. That's a Ponzi scheme. This and that, you know. Those are usually old farts, right, that are set in their ways and they're too lazy to learn anything else. So they just diss it because, you know, they'd rather use ignorance than anything else. You know what I'm saying? Hey, we got our first text already. Love it. Happy Thursday, Big O. I'm starting my countdown return back to South Florida on the 28th for the Colts week. G from Pennsylvania. Thank you, G. Appreciate you, man. There you go. G from Pennsylvania. First text of the show. So nice job by you, G. Now you know you were the first to start the text line there, which is always a beautiful thing. Robert Mesa says, I remember Neil complaining about people sending pages and pages and wasting all his fax paper. Remember that? You got to adjust, baby. You got in life, you got to adjust. And so there you go. It's that's pretty cool. I was tripping out when I saw that announcement by Inter Miami. And tomorrow, by the way, they host the Red Bulls of New York. They're at the stadium at Drive Pink Stadium. Should be a lot of fun. Hopefully they can get another victory. I don't care how they get it. Doesn't matter to me, okay? I know they got lucky this week because clearly, okay, they scored on that goal. But, you know, whatever. If they couldn't notice it or figure out that it was a goal, which it was clearly a goal, like it was obvious as hell. I'll take the break, bro. You guys want to play three blind mice? I'm good. I'd rather have Inter Miami win. This is one hell of a run by them also. So their jersey partner, XBTO, Crypto Finance Company, and their headquarters are here in Miami. And thanks to, you know, our mayor. I know some of you don't care because you don't follow crypto, but I'm glad that Suarez wants to make Miami a crypto hub. One, it'll bring more jobs to us here in South Florida because there's a lot of young people are into crypto. They understand what's coming. You know what I mean? It's funny because old people don't understand that they've kind of been into crypto forever. It's called credit cards. So digital currency is nothing new, but it's just going to be a different look to it. You know what I mean? It's a different branch of digital currency, but you've been doing some sort of digital currency with credit cards for many years. In a way, checks are also somewhat of a digital currency because it's really not the bills. None of those things are bills. They're actually papers and plastic that you would use in place of money. And it's the same thing. You know what I mean? So it's awesome. I like what I saw yesterday because it just kind of continues the trend that people aren't getting with crypto. But anyway, good stuff there. Appreciate all of you out there as always keeping it locked. Remember to join us tomorrow. We're at Caneswear in Davie, 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Great time to come by, get any Canes gear for the game this weekend, and get some Dolphins gear, man. They've got plenty of Dolphins gear, too. So you want to pick up a hat or a shirt or something for the game against the Bills. You're going to go to a bar like Sports Grill in Miami Lakes on Sunday and join us for some great wings and hanging out and all that good stuff. Come on by. Let's go. Join us. Damn, you guys are bombarding us now with texts. Thank you. Thank you all out there. I will read your text in a minute, okay? Just give me a second here. So, please join us tomorrow at Caneswear, 2511 South University Drive in Davie, starting off at 10 a.m. I know that we'll have Ira Winderman. We'll have tomorrow Omar Kelly. And we'll have also Manny Navarro. And maybe somebody else will join us tomorrow. You never know. But tomorrow we're absolutely freaking loaded tomorrow on the program, which is really, really cool. And then Sunday we'll be out in Miami Lakes at Sports Grill in Miami Lakes. Even if you're going to the game after the game, shoot on over. It's 15 minutes away, man. You go south right there on 27th, which is University. And you get to the Palmetto, and you go west on the Palmetto, and you get off on 154th. 15 minutes, you're there, man. So come on out and join us. You can have some delicious wings, which are absolutely awesome. So there you go. NorCal reminds Jamie Zorria and everybody, there's a Dolphin watch party at Bogey's Pizza in San Jose, California on Sunday. You can say hi to Jim and Andrew for me from Finlaw. They are there. How about that? NorCal knows about every bar, every Dolphin bar in the country. Okay. NorCal has had a beer in every Dolphin bar in the country. That's a beautiful thing. And don't forget, folks, when you send in a text on the YouTube page, when you send in an email, on the email at BigORadioShow@yahoo.com or now on the text line at 855-912-1056. Please tell me where you're coming from, where you're watching the show, where you're listening to the show from. Always love to see and find out where our listeners and our amazing supporters, because without you all, there's no way we can grow, and you're just helping us grow every single day, and I thank you for that, and I'm going to work my ass off to make sure that we give you guys the best talk show, that every time you tune in, you can find out about your Marlins and your Canes and your Heat and the Dolphins, of course, and Inter Miami, so and the Florida Panthers. So we're always going to be a locally focused type of show. Yes, we will talk about some of the national stories that are, you know, interesting to most people in general, but obviously it's always going to be centered mostly around South Florida sports. So I can't say enough about all of you out there and the way you are helping us out. Big O, is it true that the game is being blacked out? Well, I have no, I had no idea about that. I would be lying to you if I told you I knew or didn't know. I'm actually telling you I don't know anything about this. This is the first time I heard about this. I did not know that it could be blacked out. That's kind of weird that it would be blacked out, because usually most of these games are pretty sold out. In a Bills game, you would also think even locally Bills fans would buy tickets already. That's weird. I did not hear about that. Is that in the local papers? Because I was on the local papers today. I didn't see anything about a blackout, man. I mean, especially a guy like Barry Jackson, who has to write like 87 articles a day for the team. I don't see anything here on the headlines. At least I don't see anything on the headlines that says that the game could be blacked out, my brother. I am not sure. I don't want to tell you no, because I don't know. And I don't want to tell you yes, because I don't know. So I'm sorry, my brother. I got to look it up and see if there's any truth to that. But it doesn't sound right, man. So Tuttle's out. San Jose, the home of Kimba, a bow camper. Kimba, you mean Kim. Oh, you're talking about San Jose State. That's what you're talking about. Yes, Tuttle, you are correct. Kim Bocamper went to San Jose State. Yes. I'm not going to call Kim Kimba. That's not, no. I don't need Kim kicking my ass, okay? Big O, I recently moved to Houston from Miami. Love your show. It keeps me close to home. Have you heard of any Dolphin bar in Houston? Well, Romulo, let's ask NorCal. NorCal, you're on the chat board, my brother. Can we help our guy here, Romulo? Is there a Dolphin bar in Houston? I just pumped you up, bro, so you cannot make me look bad now. All right, NorCal? So tell my guy Romulo here and everybody else, where is there a Dolphin bar in Houston? Because we have Dolphin bars everywhere in the world. We are everywhere in the world, okay? I love when people say that our fan base isn't passionate. I laugh at that because I've been dealing with our fan base for 30 years now, and luckily the last 20 I've gotten a good taste of fans all over the world, because we've had, again, going back to our initial conversation, the internet, which has bridged the gap and has made our communities, our world communities, that much smaller now and that more tight-knit. And I laugh because I know there's a ton of passionate Dolphin fans all over the world. In London alone, you have a maniacal group of Dolphin fans out there, and a lot of them, you know what I mean? Go to Mexico and you have a ton of crazy fans for the Miami Dolphins. So it's just, for, you know, and not just locally and everything else. Richard McClain says sold out. So yeah, that doesn't make sense, man. After normal, they haven't had a blackout in forever. That's another thing, that they get the support no matter what, even through the tough years overall. That stadium, you know, usually has a good amount of fans. Now, just be glad you're not going by the Canes. Now, that would be blacked out constantly, because you're not going to get a sold-out stadium there unless the opposing team's fans loaded up. Let's see, what else do we have here? NorCal says, no Houston bars that I've heard of, but I'm always listening for one. Rosendo says, I got you covered, NorCal. All right, there you go. Big O, I think NorCal knows the bars around the Bay Area in California, but he might surprise us. Texas Brotherhood should know about Houston. Now, NorCal, remember, he's like the president of all the Dolphin clubs. And this maniac has been all over in every city, okay? Every NFL city he's probably been to with the Dolphins. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's been to most of the Dolphin bars all across the country. NorCal is as dedicated as it gets, dude. Game is on Channel 7, home of Rick Sanchez and Sally Does It Fit. I'm sorry, Fitz. You put on a Dolphins jersey, you drive to a bar, and you make it a damn Dolphins bar. Fins up. That's what Daniel Grafton says. Damn right, you do that. Except in Philadelphia, where they'll kill you. We have no, there's no Dolphin fans listening to us and watching from Philadelphia, right? Like, they don't even want to admit that they're Dolphin fans, right? Because over there, they mortar you when you admit that you're a fan of another team, right? Isn't it something like that? Isn't that what goes on? Let's see. Big O, what is your prediction for the UM-Michigan State game Saturday? This is a huge game for Manny, who I believe is way over his head. None of it matters anymore, dude. None of it matters anymore. And I would say Michigan State wins the game. I'm definitely going to bet Michigan State. I'm going to take the points, unfortunately. I don't, you know, Miami can win, but I don't even, they're not going to win by 6.5. They're not going to win by 7 points. Big O Hall of Fame Steve D here in Canton, Ohio. Used to text you at QAM and Onside, but do not do it on YouTube because I'm at work and don't want to get caught, because getting paid and listening to the Big O Show is something you can't find in any other job. Go Dolphins. So thank you, Stevie D. I appreciate you, man. Thank you for keeping it locked here. See, that's why I came up with the text line. I think it's important to have the text line because the first go-around, we use it on Onside, but the first go-around with the podcast, the text line was smoking. I mean, it was constantly used all day, all night, and so it was a great way of connecting with people. You've got to create avenues to connect with people. I know in regular radio, they don't give a shit about you guys. They don't connect with you guys. They don't interact with you guys. They use you just for, if it's something for entertainment purposes and things like that. Obviously, if it's controversial, they're going to stay away from it. And they definitely don't do it to socialize, to get to know you whatsoever. They don't give a shit about you. Big O, GP Trap, originally from Pennsylvania, saying hello. But you're here, right? GP Trap, you're here in South Florida, originally from Pennsylvania, but you're from here, right? I'm pretty sure you're here in South Florida, baby. So good stuff there. Francisco Rivero says, Big O, being an older fan, what would a Dolphins Super Bowl mean to this city? All I grew up with from 2003 was with the Marlins and the Heat dynasty, but I'm curious how the city would and fans to a Finns championship. We would lose our fucking minds. Whatever you've seen for a Heat celebration, crushed. Whatever you've seen for a Kane celebration, crushed. Should I mention the Marlins? Really? All right, they were great celebrations, by the way. I went to the celebrations for 97 and 03, don't get me wrong. I'm happy about the Kane celebrations and obviously the Heat celebrations. The Dolphins winning a Super Bowl would be so enormous. This is what I guarantee you. I guarantee you, maniacs like NorCal will fly down to be part of the parade. Am I wrong, NorCal? Send me a text there. NorCal, am I wrong? Did I predict wrong on that one? I bet you Dolphin fans all over the world would go crazy. Our town would go absolutely nuts. Pots and pans everywhere. It would be just mind-boggling. I'm telling you, it would dominate. It would dominate for a week or two, the celebrations, and they would be enormous. Nothing gets this town going like football. We have embraced basketball, which I've been so impressed what Riley and the Heat organization have done to turn our community into loving basketball and following it on a really hardcore basis. But football is what we live, eat, and breathe down here. And because the Dolphins haven't won in so long now, that we're approaching 50 years now with all of this, I can't tell you what I think businesses would shut down, give their employees a day off or something. I think there would be like a special day when that day of the parade, they'll tell people, hey, take the day off or half a day off or whatever. I'm telling you that people are going to do things that they normally would not do if the Dolphins won a Super Bowl. And I guarantee you there'll be fans all over the world that'll just want to come here. Plus, we're Miami in South Florida. It's a great place to hang out and have fun, but enjoy that celebration. Let me see where NorCal, did you answer me? Dolphin bringing 64 members. Okay. You know me very well, Big O. Our fans would go nuts. The world would know. Yeah. And he would come down here. I'm telling you, there'd be Dolphin fans flying down here just to be a part of it. There's no doubt about that. Rosendo says, if we win the Super Bowl, we can all go to Canton as a group and visit the Hall of Fame bust of Don Shula and sing the Dolphin fight song. Big O, do you have the fight song? Yes, we do have the fight song. I don't know if I get in trouble playing it on YouTube, so I'm not going to play it. I'm not playing any music on YouTube. They're a pain in the ass. So you will only hear our theme. That's it, dude. That's the only thing you're ever going to hear because YouTube's really, really touchy. So I'd rather kind of stay away from it. I could probably play like a little piece and not get in trouble, but I don't want to get too crazy. Keith N. Meadows says, Big O, new fan from Raleigh, North Carolina. Plan on joining you and the crew pre and post game. The week 13 are able to text the venue. Are able to text. What do you mean are able? You want me to, what do you want me to do? Give you the address? Is that what you mean? sportsgrill.com and then just hit the Miami Lakes location. Okay, just in case. I don't know. If you want me to put the address, I can put the address. I can do that for you, but it's super simple. But if you go to sportsgrill.com, Miami Lakes location, that's the one that's really close to the stadium. Oh, wait a minute. Week 13. I'm sorry. My apologies. I'm sending you to the wrong place. We'll be at Bird Road in week 13. Okay, that's at 114th and Bird Road. That's going to take you about 30 minutes, 35 minutes to get there from the stadium. The good thing is it's all turnpike. You take the turnpike right off of the stadium, and you get off on Bird Road on the turnpike. You just go south. And it's literally three blocks away going east on the exit. So it's super, super simple to get to. And it's the stadium, at the highway at the stadium drops you off at the highway right there where Sports Grill is at, which is a beautiful thing. All right, I'll get back to your texts. I'll get back to your chats. I got a bunch of things to talk about. But before we do all of that, let's talk a little football. And Lisa Johnson is going to join us. We're going to talk our football, our turf football is the website. We talk to Lisa Johnson next. All righty, we promised you that Lisa Johnson would be kind enough to join us from Our Turf Football. And if you want to follow it on Twitter, it's Our Turf FB. Check it out there on Twitter. You can check out all the articles across the country. Many ladies covering the great sport of football. Lisa for the website covers our Miami Dolphins. Lisa, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. How are you? A little nervous about this weekend, I'll have to admit. I'll tell you.
I'm actually a little more confident this week than I would have been at the beginning of the season, because they kind of looked a little more human last week against Pittsburgh. The only thing, Lisa, is the natural pass rush that Pittsburgh can generate is something that Miami has not proven that they can generate. Ogba, I thought, was pretty damn good last week, but he really needs somebody opposite of him to really get after this guy. And I wonder with Phillips this week, I thought Pupar had a really good idea, is Just unleash him. Don't worry. Don't have him drop back. Don't have him worry about the run. Just worry about Josh Allen and get after him. And I think that's the key now. How does Miami generate that pass rush against Josh Allen?
And I think that's exactly what you said. It's like you're going to have to really get after him because, you know, he kills us. He kills us the last couple of games we've played. But what was so impressive about Pittsburgh is they put pass rush on him with like four linemen coming. So it's, you know, and that's certainly not the Dolphins style, as you said. You know, we need to work on getting some pressure on him. And we need to keep him in front of us. And one of the things that I thought Pittsburgh did great with is they kept everything in front of them. And, you know, when you put Allen in a, like, say, they kept them, got them behind the sticks. I mean, they were always in a 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, which is great. You want to get them behind the sticks. Because, let's face it, Josh Allen in the shotgun, you're a 3rd and 8. He's 4 yards taking the ball. So, technically, that's almost like a 4th. That's a 3rd and 12, technically, because he's catching the ball 4 yards back from the line of scrimmage where, you know, he got out a couple times, but he only scrambled for 8 yards. That's 3 yards shy of the first down, and they're off the field.
Right.
I thought they did a great job. Tackling is going to be a must. You got to tackle this guy. You know, he's a big guy. The Dolphins have had they'll get him, but they can't get him wrapped up to the ground. They're going to have to make sure their tackling is on point.
I think one of the things that I would love to see is also the running game working for the Miami Dolphins, because if you can keep possession and stretch out some of these possessions and keep that defense on the field as much as possible in the second half, that heat, that humidity will get to Buffalo because they're not used to being in the heat and humidity. And then now you can really start to maybe open it up and loosen it up a little bit more on these guys. I think that's going to be the other key. You want to give Josh Allen less opportunities of trying to catch, trying to put up points, and at the same time, the way to do that, yeah, you want to pressure him, you want to get him off the field, but I think running the football is going to be an enormous key in this game.
And we had some success last week doing that, so they just need to, you know, build off of that. You know, Coach Flo preached that, you know, all this week in his pressers is, you know, we have to execute. We have to win our matchups. And that is huge when you play Buffalo. You have to win the matchups. You know, you have to make sure you keep everything in front of you. You have to make sure you don't give up big plays. Because like you said, you want to be there in the fourth quarter. Just give us a shot in the fourth quarter to be there, to give us a chance to win the game. You know, and I think that's going to be huge to stop that. And like you said, make them play the full game. Make them play 60 minutes of football in this heat. And I think if the Dolphins can take them to the fourth quarter, give us a chance, and if we can hold the lead, how many times, like last week with the Patriots, did you notice we actually kept the ball and ran the clock out?
Right.
I was like, that was amazing. I loved how aggressive he was, and shows you how I think he's starting to gain a little confidence with Tua to do this. This is what the kid's learning how to do. We've got to keep the ball. And that was a fantastic finish with New England. How many times have we done that, been able to run the clock out?
Yeah. No, I mean, under Flores, they've won twice already there in five trips. That's or three trips there, actually, and they've won twice, which is amazing. And he's 3-2 against him. So I've been really impressed. By the way, you can follow Lisa on Twitter at LJ1303. I know you can see it on YouTube, but obviously if you're listening on the podcast, LJ1303. And, of course, go to Our Turf FB on Twitter also. You can follow all of them there on Our Turf FB. Lisa, your thoughts on Tua's play last week?
I thought he did okay. I mean, he's still so raw. I think so many people came out of the gate just expecting so much from him. And, you know, he's young. He's learning. Every single game, I just want to see growth. Oh, I just want to see the kid, you know, every single game have a light bulb go off. Have that one series where he kind of takes control. And like I said, he's still real young. It's going to take some time. We just got to have patience. And look, I'm guilty of it. I got hung up last week with it. I had to listen to some of it on the radio. And when they brought Brissett in, the commentators on satellite radios that I was listening to was like, oh, that's it. You know, Bichette's in the game. And I'm like, what? I had that knee-jerk reaction. I'll admit it. You know, I was like, oh, my God, is that it? Did he give up on him? So, you know, like I said, I have to calm myself down because I catch myself getting caught up in some of the, you know, we want him to be elite now talk. So I've got myself a little calmed down. I'm going to get kid. You know, technically, this is the kid's rookie year to me. Last year, it was just kind of a wash to me.
It still is rookie year because that was his 10th game. So
we're not talking about
a kid that's played a lot of football yet at this point. He hasn't even played a complete season. He needs to play a couple of seasons to see the division a couple of times, see teams over and over again, start to learn their habits, start to learn the difference between one defensive coordinator and another defensive scheme, and the habits of each of those coaches. All of those things take time. You just don't learn them right away, and that's why we have this microwave society that wants immediate results, and it's nice to get immediate results. I get it, man.
It is.
We experienced it with Marino coming off the bench
a
long time ago, but that's rare. Those kind of dudes are just absolutely rare. And even Marino didn't start either, actually. So it took him a few games till they actually gave him the opportunity. But it's just, you know, we have very little patience here, and I definitely understand that. I talked about this yesterday on the show, and while I know that a lot of people are unhappy with Noah Igbinoghomy, I also have to remind people that, and I'm wondering how you feel about this, because it's kind of a catch-22. Yeah, you could be frustrated with them, and you should be if you want, but there's also a flip side. The kid doesn't play. So if he doesn't play because he's got three people in front of him that are pretty damn good and they don't use him, it's hard for him to get playing time right now to ever get better. You cannot get better on the bench. There's no way. And so last year he got a little playing time because of the Jones injury. But outside of that, he just hasn't really had time to develop. And that's kind of been the catch-22. We could get pissed at him, but maybe, or we could get frustrated at the whole situation. But really, the kid is not getting enough time to actually develop to, you know, fix those damn skills.
Well, and that's the thing. And that goes back to Flo saying the matchups. He's going to play the guys that give him the best matchup of their skill sets you're seeing. He sees Buffalo on tape. They see him in practice. We don't. We're not involved in the coaches' conversations. So I honestly think if Coach Flo says, you know what, this week he had a tremendous week of practice, I think he'll match up good with, say, a Coles. I don't know about Stephon Diggs. You know, like I said, this is going to have to be your A-game defensive backs here. And if Flo is like, you know what, I'm still on the fence, I just don't think he's ready yet, Flo's going to take that roster spot and put it somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's going to make a difference. And I think that's what he does every week. Just because you see, like he said in his pressers, just because you see one set one week doesn't mean you're going to see it the next week.
Yeah.
Because that's what this game's about. You have to put players in position to win the football game.
Yeah.
And he takes his coaches into account. And if he thinks that he's ready, he'll put him in. I have no doubt. So I think his time's coming. I definitely think you're going to see him. I just don't know if you're going to see him against this Buffalo Bills team.
No, yeah. I think he might get some piecemeal stuff throughout the year, but it might be another year before they put him out on the field. And then the real bitch is that you're not going to get a ton of time to actually assess whether he's made progress or not, because let's say he gets way more playing time next year. Well, now you're in year three. So now the window's a lot shorter to figure out whether you made a good pick or not. And then the other thing that you have to think about is the front office going, maybe we drafted too many corners, you know, because Nick Needham turned out Nick Needham turned out to be a pretty good player, and he doesn't really play the slot. So if Noah can't and he's not supposed to knock out Jones or X, that would be a really bad look if he knocks out Jones or X. So it's like they're sitting there going, man, how do we get this kid better if we can't get him on the field? So the whole Noah thing is so frustrating. I'm sure it's frustrating for him. I'm sure it's frustrating for the coaches, the front office, and fans. You know what I mean? It's just one of those situations that's kind of unsatisfying for all, and none of us really have the answer on how you really can get the best out of the kid when people in front right. of him are already playing, man. It's a tough one. All right. The passing game this week against the Bills.
Yes.
How much better do you think it gets now with Will Fuller in the mix? Because Albert Wilson played and had there was one chance with him and Tua trying to connect, but overall did not have the impact. So I think they're hoping Fuller it becomes a real difference maker this week.
Yeah, and the only concern is, you know, he hasn't practiced much. So, you know, how much of is that going to affect coach's flow decision with him? How is that going to impact the game plan? You know, because you have to game plan, and he hasn't been practicing much. So to me, it's like, how much action will he see? Albert Wilson, we all talked about it. I actually heard you guys talking about it too. He was a monster in training camp. Didn't kind of show up last week. But who's, you know, is that the game plan that they just had against the Patriots? To me, the key in this passing game is we got to get these tight ends involved this Sunday. They have to get involved. We need to see Gesicki. We need to, and I think Sheehan's coming back. So I think that's going to be more. I honestly think he's going to make a much more impact than Fuller will. So I'm looking for more of the tight end to be a huge factor this Sunday than I am Fuller. I think Fuller will be a nice little maybe disguise to put some things in, but you know, I just don't know how much of an impact. I think Sheehan coming back is going to be a much improved offense with him in the lineup.
I'm glad you brought that up, Lisa. That's a great call on your part, because I've been kind of on this trip from the beginning that when they drafted Hunter Long, that tells me that their vision is to have two tight ends and kind of make life easier for their quarterback, kind of like when New England's trying to do the same thing. And I don't think that the secondary of the Bills is this incredible secondary. And I think with the safeties, I think you'll be able to actually take advantage. And I'm with you. I think the Shaheen addition, he was showing great chemistry already with Tua as it is. And because Gesicki gets so much attention, because Jalen Waddle's going to get a lot of attention after they watch the New England film, I think that's going to open it up for Shaheen. It's going to open it up for Parker, and maybe even a little Fuller too at the same time. I thought Parker looked healthy, he looked spry, he looked explosive this past week. And so all of a sudden Parker becomes kind of the forgotten guy, Shaheen comes in as the under the radar guy, and then you add Fuller. I think as a secondary right now, the Bills have to be concerned about how they're going to defend that Dolphin passing game. And I'm with you. I think the two tight end set is going to become a real factor this week. I like it.
Yeah, and if you can add getting a little bit of a running game to have a little bit of a play action, that'll be the game changer. I mean, if you can get this running game a little bit better than it was in the Patriots, get some lanes open, open that pass action, play action, you're going to see it. You're going to see us hold that ball. Time of possession should be huge. We didn't have very good time of possession last week.
No.
Even though we came out with the win, time of possession is a little concerning, because you want to extend drives. You want to, keep our defense fresh. You want to keep Josh Allen off the field. So, like I said, the tight end play to me, what we just talked about, is going to be the factor, I think, that can really help us out.
And the other thing that I thought about, and I think they're going to unleash it at one point, maybe this is the week where they do it. Salvon Ahmed has already shown a real gift of catching the ball and becoming a difference maker in that area. I think eventually you're going to see some kind of a wheel route, something with Ahmed involved, and he's going to help out in the passing game and be a real threat for them. That's the other thing. I don't think we've seen, it's not like, obviously, one game you're not going to see the whole playbook, but I think there's more diversity to the offense now than they had in the last 2 years, and it's just a matter of it evolving and us watching it, develop. I don't think we saw everything last week. I think we'll see a little bit more with some of the additions this week, and now Godsey and Studsville can actually – now they have – all their cards there that they can use. You know what I'm saying? I think that's the difference.
Right. And one thing, too, I want to comment off of was, I didn't hear too much of the conversation with you guys, but I'd love to get your intake on them getting cute with bringing Jacoby Brissett in for that quarterback sneak. I'll tell you now, I am not a fan because I am all about momentum. If the momentum's good, we're on a drive, we come up to a third and one, call the play. Let's keep going. I hate the fact of stopping the play, bringing the personnel in for Jacoby. You got a different cadence. You know, one huge stop can just totally change the momentum. I am not a fan of that.
I understand that, but because after I watched Pat Mahomes get injured on a quarterback sneak, and because he's not a 6'4 guy in Tua, I had no problem with that play. Now, okay. The way I would have run that play is, you know, it's third and short. Brissett has to, you know, hey, it's second and long. Hey, if we're in third and short, Jacoby, be ready to run in for it. Mm-hmm. And what I would have done is immediately I would have had Tua ready that once Brissett is diving in, his ass is running out onto the field and continuing the flow.
See, that's what, yeah.
The momentum.
It seemed like it just was so slow.
Yes.
It seemed like it was just took so much time to develop of who was going to be where. And that drives me crazy. It's like, you got the momentum, let's go.
And I thought what really killed the momentum was the second down that they kept Jacoby in. And I don't know if they were trying to, because you talked about cadence. I don't know if they were trying to draw him off sides. I don't know what they saw in the game plan that after short yardage, if you keep them on the field, there's some the personnel that they're going to have. We can take advantage of certain things. But I'm with you. I would have got him off the field because you had just completed the big pass to Jalen Waddle. You had all the momentum. Everything was moving. I think you could have done the switch really quick and keep momentum going.
Quickly, yeah, and keep it going.
And I have no problem using a 6'4 body over a six foot and a half, you know, body for the quarterback sneak. That I actually I was impressed with that because I never thought of that. I thought that was actually a really good thing. But I'm with you on the momentum. You have to be better prepared, and you got to get Tua back in there. I don't care what kind of gimmick you saw, dude. You're playing the Patriots.
Right.
You're not, you know, you do it the right way. I'm with you there. So what's what's the prediction, Lisa?
I think if we can stay with them, make them play a complete game, give us a chance at the end of the game, and I'll tell you right now, I see a special teams play coming up that could win the game in the fourth quarter.
Ooh, Jakeem Grant, huh? There you go, my boy.
Yep, I'm seeing special teams. I'm feeling special teams. We just got to stay with them. We got to give our chance. We got to give ourselves that chance in the fourth quarter to pull it out. Either long field goal or run back. I mean, I'm feeling a special teams play coming. That's right. Going to be the difference in this game.
All right. What are you working on the site so folks can check you out?
Well, of course, right now I'm working on the Buffalo game plan this week. I'm doing a couple radio shows in with some Buffalo Bills fans.
Okay.
So I'm excited about that. But I got some articles coming out. You know, I'll be at the game Sunday. So definitely, you know, please follow along. You know, I love talking to people. So I'm just looking forward to Buffalo and getting some things out on it.
You got it. There you go. Thank you, Lisa. As always, follow her on Twitter, LJ1303. And the site is Our Turf Football. Check it out, OurTurfFootball.com. Lisa, thank you as always. You're awesome.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You got it. There you go, Lisa Johnson. Good stuff there as always. Appreciate Lisa right here on the Big O Radio Show. All right, we're back. We thank Lisa as always for joining us, talking a little Dolphins football. As we get ready for the Bills and the Dolphins on Sunday, we will have our pre- and post-game show 2 hours before kickoff, 2 hours after kickoff. We'll have our insiders in the locker room. We have three different insiders covering the team, so nobody's going to give you better insight and objective insight on what's going on than our show. We will carry the press conferences, whether it's coach or players. You'll hear from Tua. You'll hear from the coach. You'll get our reactions from all of it. You won't miss a damn thing, dude. All right? You won't miss a damn thing. And you won't have to sit through long commercial breaks and all that other stuff that they do. And obviously got to play the politics. All that kind of stuff that you get on other places. So make sure you tune in to us. Tommy says, oh, did you hear anything about Gesicki getting into it with Tua and Flo on the sidelines last week? No, I did not. Who reported it? What are we talking about? That's what I need to know. I have not seen anything. Show me who reported it, and then I can react off of it. Gus 1388 says, Big O, today's my birthday, and all I want is Tua to pick a guy and let it fly to a Dolphins win this weekend. By the way, Dolphins game is blacked out the entire state of Florida except for the Miami market. DirecTV for everybody else in Florida. Ah, okay. I see. All right. So there you go. So if you're in Miami, but I mean, if you're out of town, you know, they've got a bunch of stuff there ready for you. They got those links that you can find. Why does somebody say we have plenty of Chick-fil-A? You guys sending me pictures and everything? You got to add a little more Gesicki. Gesicki's a playmaker. He needs 9 to 10 touches. Okay. All right, you can't tell me we have plenty of Chick-fil-A and then, you know, leave me hungry like this. That's just wrong. I haven't had a chicken biscuit in a while. Love to have a little chicken biscuit. Man, those Chick-fil-A chicken biscuits are the best. Chris Adams says, Lisa's pretty good. It's great to hear some football from a lady's perspective. I'm totally digging her and having her on the show again. This show is where everyone can get the best Finns info. Thank you, Chris. Lisa does a great job. Lisa goes to the Senior Bowl. She's hardcore, man. She does a really good job. She and I were hanging out at the Senior Bowl a couple of years ago because it's 3 years ago because I haven't been to the last two, unfortunately, because of stinking COVID. And plus, I had a chance to go last year, but it was so limited and you weren't going to get any access whatsoever. And talking to guys around the league, a lot of them were like, hey, man, I'm staying in the room. I'm not going out as much and this and that. And so I'm like, forget it. So I don't know if hopefully we're in a much better place this year. And when I go out there, although I will say this, the East-West Shrine now being in Vegas, man, I don't know how I passed that up. I got to tell you, that's one that's got to be an interesting. And the people at the East-West Shrine have always been absolutely phenomenal with us, man. Great access, always take care of us. We love the people at the East-West Shrine game. You know, Senior Bowl is great too. Man, I tell you, I'm going to miss my trips to St. Pete, because that was a lot of fun. Diane Mayer says, Wayne Cox, he ran down to give him a hug. I don't know what that means. Hard Rock Stadium will be packed, so no blackout. Come on, guys. In Hallandale, in Miami, is Hallandale Miami market? I think so. I think it's Miami Fort Lauderdale, sir. The TV market is Miami Fort Lauderdale. West Palm, I don't know. Okay, I'm not sure. See, I don't want to talk out of place where all this, that, and this is, oh, for sure it's on. No, it's not. I don't want to freak any of you guys out. Let's see, what else do we have? Herman says, Lisa's a good insider. I started following her on Twitter, and she writes good stuff. She goes to the press conferences. She's at practice. She goes to games. She travels to the Senior Bowl. I mean, I don't know what more you want from the woman. She's doing her part trying to cover the Dolphins and giving you information, man. She knows her stuff. Listen, I don't bring people on if they don't know their stuff. And I don't bring people on because, oh, it's a novelty. Let me bring a woman on. That's I don't disrespect people that way. You know, when people come on, it's because they're great reporters, because they know their stuff. That's the reason why I bring them on. It's not because I'm trying to do anything on any other level whatsoever. You know, we'll have Michelle Kaufman later. She's an ass kicker. You know what I mean? So those are things like that. We've had several women on the show always. Why? Because they know their shit, dude. They're just as good as the men. They know their stuff. So I respect them. Love it on Fox. I don't have cable. Fox is a stronger station with reception. Okay. Oh, if Manny continues to be this terrible head coach, is there any chance he gets canned at some point this season? No. Stop already with the Manny stuff. I already told you, there's no shot he gets fired this year. There's no way they put him on the hot seat, because then Blake James is putting himself on the hot seat. Because then he has to fire a guy with 2 years left on his contract and $4 million you paid to get his services. So they'll fire Blake James also. Maybe after next season they will blow him out. But again, Troy, I already talked about this. None of it matters. The administration's going to hire another Shannon, another Golden, or another Diaz. None of it matters, dude. They're not going to spend elite. So if you're not going to spend to be elite, you'll never be elite. That's just the way it is. It's over already. Stop complaining about Manny. Complain to the administration. Don't complain to Blake James. Don't complain to Manny. That's a waste of time. Complain to the administration. Challenge them to get an elite staff. That's what you have to do. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you reach those people, but they're the problem. They're the ones that don't care about having the University of Miami at an elite level. You got to buy a staff, not a coach. Okay? It's got to be a great coach. It's got to be a great offensive and defensive coordinators. And if you don't have that, you got no shot in hell, and that's what's going on. Keep hiring those kind of people. You hire the Goldens of the world, you get those results. You hire the Shannons of the world, you'll get those results. And you hire the Diaz of the world, you'll get those results. So they'll continue to look for those kind of guys, because they're not willing to go all the way, my man. So stop wasting your time complaining about Manny Diaz. Udotis says, I'm from New York, surrounded by miserable Jets fans. It's great that I can come on YouTube and chill out with my fellow Fins fans. Well, welcome aboard, my friends. Thank you. And remember to smash the hell out of the like button. That is the most important thing you're going to do for our show, is smash the like button, folks. We need it, and we need it badly. That will help out in a big time way. Okay. Let's see, what else do we have here? We are at the top of the hour, ladies and gentlemen. So let's reset. Let's take a very small break so I can take a sip of water, and then we will come back and we will start hour number two of the Big O Radio Show.